Welcome back, everybody, to the Talking Sportsbooks podcast as we continue to look back at some of the best stories from the first 50 editions of the show. And in this clip today, I'm talking to Steve Hunt, who left Aston Villa aged just 20 to head for the then very uncharted territory of the USA and the NASL to team up with the New York Cosmos at the height of their success. Now, this is the second clip from this podcast. The earlier one we posted a few days ago, Steve was talking about his arrival in New York and settling in. Here, he discusses how a precocious 20-year-old got on playing alongside the greatest player in the history of the game. That is, of course, Pelé. And what happened when he failed to listen to some of his advice. And that is not all. We also broached the subject of how Steve decided that one day it would be a very good job indeed to tell the legendary Giorgio Chinaglia what he actually thought of him. Some great tales here. And remember, the full version of this is available on the website at www.talkingsportsbooks.com or on any of the streaming providers. Now, enjoy this. Some really great stuff here from Steve Hunt. He had a go at you one day as well, didn't he? This was the day that you stuck your fingers in your ears to pretend you couldn't, you weren't listening to him.
Should we skip now? Obviously, it was very embarrassing. But
you were only 20 odd, though.
In my defence, that's the excuse I come up with now anyway. But I learnt the hard way. But yeah, I had what I thought was a decent shot on goal. You know, and he only just went over the crossbar, but he wasn't happy. He thought I should have passed to him, and he kind of gave me a little bit of stick, which I put the fingers in my ear and told him where to go.
And tell me, how long did you last on the field after that little incident?
Yeah, within 10 seconds, I was sat on the bench. So, yeah, I did apologise. Pelly, the way he is, he just said no problem. But you live and learn. It's all life, isn't it?
That infamous game in Fort Lauderdale where he registered his 91st hat-trick, you set him up with a couple of assists as well. I mean, you had a great relationship on the field with him.
I'd like to think so. We seemed to hit it off really well. I mean, it wasn't just Pelé. We had a team of very, very good players. The standard really surprised me, to be honest. That was another worry for me going to the States, whether it'd be competitive. But it certainly was in them. Certainly 77, 78 was very competitive. But we had a good understanding. I got to know exactly what his game was all about and what he expected from me. So, yeah, we got on great after that earlier spat.
There was a suggestion, shall we say, that he was a protected species, because there was an occasion when you got sent off for doing nothing after Pelé had committed some heinous crime.
Well, I mean, it's on film, it's there, I don't have to defend myself with it. I didn't do anything. But of course, when the referee turned around and said, "Steve, I can't send him off, can I?" I knew what it was all about then. But yeah, he showed his boxing skills in that instance.
That whole showbiz aura that was hanging around, I mean, the team arrivals on the pitch are something else as well. I mean, the Fort Lauderdale team arriving, this was my favourite, riding around the pitch on the back of Hell's Angels bikes, and at the back of it is hearse with the coach in it.
That's it.
Who gets out of a coffin and says, "We ain't dead yet."
That's 100% correct. I mean, I'd seen many things over there, but that one really topped it for me.
Are we missing something here? Should we adopt some of this showbiz?
I don't know how it'd go down. But it certainly was entertaining, and the crowd absolutely loved it, But to see those bikes rev up and circle the pitch was quite intimidating, to be honest.
There's one player that I haven't mentioned yet, and that is, of course, the infamous or the famous Giorgio Chinaglia. Now, his story is worthy of a book and a film on its own. Now, he was let go by Swansea in the late 60s, heads over to Rome and Lazio, where he helps them to a Scudetto. Describe the scenes when you arrive at the station just outside Rome and he's mobbed and carried through the streets on the shoulders of all of the fans.
Well, he'd always mentioned that he was, you know, a star over there. But I didn't realise how much of a star. And we arrived by train into the station, and there was not space for one other supporter. It was absolutely rammed of chanting supporters for Giorgio. And when he stepped off the train, they got him on his shoulders and they kind of walked him out the station on the shoulders. He was loved. He really was.
The stories are so many, but I think the best one, or one of the best ones, is when the Cosmos actually agreed to sign him, sent him his plane ticket, economy plane ticket, and he binned it, chartered his own private jet, sent them the bill and said, well, if Pelé's got a private plane, I'm having one.
Yeah, that kind of sums George's syncing up, shall we say. He's not to be outdone by anybody.
Did he genuinely believe that he was Pelé's equal?
Oh, I would think he thought he was better. Listen, Giorgio was the best goal scorer I have ever seen. His knack for scoring goals from any angle in the air was unbelievable. Like he said to me, he said, look, we brought you to this team to make goals for me.
This is when you tried to score one on your own.
Yeah, you know, that was the understanding. He said, look, I'm the goal scorer, you make them for me. And when that sunk in with me, we got along fine.
He scored 737 goals throughout his career. His nickname was Long John Silver. Who coined that name for him?
I think it was after John Charles. I'm pretty certain it was something to do with John Charles being called Long John, and he got the nickname himself. But I'll tell you what, he had mixed support in America. You know, he got booed hell of a lot, and I couldn't understand it from the Italian community. He was always having to prove himself, but knowing George, he always did.
I also like the story about his father hearing that he was left out the Swansea team, turning up at the training ground with a meat cleaver looking for the coach.
Yes. I must admit, when I read that, I thought, I'm glad I got on with him towards the end.
Yeah, you didn't know a great deal about him at the time when you arrived.
Nothing.
Because you probably wouldn't have accused him one day of being lazy, would you?
Yeah, that was a mistake. No, I'd never heard of him, obviously. It was all new to me. The only person I'd heard of is Pelé and Charlie Aitken. My old Villa teammate who was at the Cosmos. But, you know, it was getting used to the different cultures. We had so many different nationalities play on the team, all with a common bond of how to play and how to gel together. And it took a while. And I felt George was, at the time, lazy, which I think he would even say himself he was. But he was entitled to be, and I realised that because he was our match winner. Even above Pelé, he was our match winner because he always scored goals.
Did he get reprimanded after he landed one on you?
Well, it was all over in seconds, really. We both took a swing and teammates jumped on us and got pulled apart. And that's when he sat me down, and said, look, I am lazy, but you've been brought over here to make goals for me. And if you do that, we'll get on just fine. And so that's what I did.
Well, Well, that was Steve Hunt. Some truly incredible stories. And there's loads more of them as well, actually. If you want to catch up with the full edition of that, you can. It is on the website, www.talkingsportsbooks.com, or by any of the streaming providers. The book is actually called I'm With The Cosmos, and it is available now. And don't forget, you can catch up with all of the latest editions of the show. The current show is good as well because it looks at the legends and cult heroes of Formula One. And also out recently, in case you missed it, the story of Elton John and his time with Watford from when he took over as the chairman when they were sat in 92nd position in the Football League, and it charts their progress right the way through to the old First Division and FA Cup final and Europe. And also worth a listen is Carl Frampton, who joined us just before Christmas to talk about his career as well. Again, all available on the website, www.talkingsportsbooks.com, or via any of the streaming providers. And that is it from me, Tim Cable, for the moment. We've got some great new books to tell you about for the upcoming shows. Next up, we're going to be looking at the story of Max Verstappen. That is coming in a few weeks' time. Until then, from me, Tim Cable, bye-bye for now.